This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
It's You Better You Bet on the BetQL Audio Network.
Love the music kicking off the final hour here. You Better You Bet. It's Mark Melusis, Jeremy Kahn with you. Nick and Ken will be back with you on Monday. Preakness 146 tomorrow down at Pimlico. Let's welcome aboard our next guest. That is the great Todd Schrupp, TVG analyst. He's down in Baltimore as well. Jeremy's neck of the woods for the Preakness tomorrow, and he joins us now. Good evening, Todd. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thank you for that introduction, Mark. And Jeremy, good to be with you. And I can see why you love this area. It is absolutely showing off right now, Baltimore, Maryland, this entire week. Everyone talks about how it seems like rain is a magnet for this weekend, and it seems like that's been the case previously. But it has been one of the most gorgeous weeks I can remember in this area, with the temperature up around 75 degrees and very little humidity. It's going to be perfect for tomorrow. No excuses for anyone going into the Preakness tomorrow.
Weather's been great. Yeah. How are you enjoying the Black Eyed Susan today? Were you there for that?
Yes. I wish my bankroll didn't come with me for the Black Eyed Susan. I'm a horizontal player. And what that means for those who maybe don't play a lot of horse racing is I like multi-race wagers. So I'm a pick four and I'm a pick five guy. I'm trying to pick four winners in a row, pick five winners in a row, which is difficult. It's like playing, obviously, a parlay in sports. So today, I was right in a few key spots, but I was also wrong in a few key spots. And getting four out of five doesn't work in a pick five, and three out of four in a pick four. There were opportunities on this card, but I think ultimately, looking ahead to tomorrow, there's going to be better opportunities tomorrow. One thing I would advise people to watch for: there was no doubt on the main track today there was a rail bias. If you were on the inside, not necessarily a speed bias, I think it was close to that, but if you had rail position on this main track, you had an advantage. That could obviously change tomorrow, but historically, Pimlico has been like that over the years. Inside is good, on or near the lead is a good thing, and today it was almost unstoppable.
You know, Todd, before we get your thoughts on the field and what you expect tomorrow in the Preakness, what did you make of everything surrounding Baffert, Medina Spirit, and the failed blood test after his Derby victory?
You know, for somebody who has committed my life to being in thoroughbred racing, it was a massive disappointment on levels that I'm not even sure I can express properly to the audience. But imagine dedicating your life to a sport, and then someone rises to become the face of that sport, and Bob Baffert, everyone recognizes him where he goes, even people who just tune in a few times each year for the sport, now being so crestfallen and what that means to those of us who have been around the sport that long. It was hugely disappointing. There's still a lot to play out with what's going on with Medina Spirit. Every trainer has the right to a split sample. Bob Baffert has that. We will not know about that split sample probably until the Belmont Stakes. So we might be done with this Triple Crown before we even know if the Kentucky Derby winner has indeed confirmed that positive test and could potentially be disqualified. But the most disheartening thing to me is the initial PR push by Bob Baffert. When he held his morning press conference to announce that this positive had come out and the word was already out in the industry, normally in these situations, you would not hear about it until the split sample come back. But however, this was such big news. It was starting to leak, so he tried to get out ahead of it. His initial press conference really caught me off guard because it's the first time I've seen Bob Baffert uneasy in front of the press, which is not a good look under the circumstances, obviously. He got by that morning press conference, and then he went on this media tour the rest of the day. And in a word, it was a disaster. He's not coming to the Preakness as far as we know. His longtime assistant, Jimmy Barnes, is here. I had a chance to see him a little bit. Obviously, this is a crew that's been under siege for the last 2 weeks. It's nice for them, in the case of Jimmy Barnes and the entire team for Bob Baffert, to basically get back to what they do, and that is prepare horses to race in the afternoon. We've been right next to their barn and the barn with all the other Preakness horses, and I think the tranquil nature of it has been a welcome relief for all of us who kind of want to get out of this story, and those who are obviously in the middle of the story, like Bob Baffert's crew. But there's no denying when Bob Baffert initially made that announcement and then the subsequent interviews after that, he has not helped himself. And I hope this story gets better for everyone moving forward.
Hey, Todd, before we get to things, just speaking of that with Bob Baffert and everything that went on, some negative publicity and horse racing, two of our oldest sports, are dying off. What do you think about the negative publicity, and how much does that actually hurt the sport in this aspect of it?
Well, look, there's going to be a segment of the sporting audience where horse racing is mystified, and they're just going to say, "I told you so. This is what I've always thought about the sport." So, as much as we may try and sell the sport to them, that's not going to happen. However, at this Kentucky Derby, after the pandemic and what's taken place over the last year and a half, horse racing has been on the rise. When all the other sports were shutting down, horse racing kept going. I cannot tell you, it's an innumerable amount of the young people, the demographic that everybody wants in just about any industry, that have come up to me and said, "I was not a horse racing person. The sports that I bet on shut down. I'm now a horse racing person, and I've stayed with it." And we've seen it in the numbers. The numbers have been fantastic for TVG and for the industry overall. So we came out of this Kentucky Derby with huge ratings on TV, with huge betting numbers and all this momentum. And now this happens. I'm not going to sit here and tell you that this is a thing that we're going to easily overcome, but I am telling you that I do believe that there's enough fair-minded people out there and enough people who see the value in the sport and realize this is not something that overshadows the sport completely. Do we have some bad actors in the sport? And I'm not throwing Bob Baffert in there quite yet. We're going to see how this plays out. But there have been some trainers that there's a couple in Jorge Navarro and Jason Service who a year and a half ago are now under FBI indictment. And they basically, that situation has led to the sport examining what it does. And I would liken it to what baseball went through with the steroid era. And I would liken it to any other sport that has had some controversy, be it cheating, be it doping, whatever. Horse racing is not immune to what other sports go through. And horse racing doesn't have more of it than other sports. I would not dedicate my life to a sport that I didn't think was on the square most of the time. It is on the square most of the time. And you can't blame a horse for what the people around that horse do or may have not done. So I'm very comfortable with where horse racing is, just as someone who works in it. And I'm still very bullish on the future. But there's no doubt, this is a big story, that how it ultimately plays out, where Bob Baffert ends up with this and his career and how people view his 7 Kentucky Derby winners, if he keeps the 7th, is going to be a major thing for his legacy. But I think ultimately the sport rises above all the controversy.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
We're chatting with Todd Schrupp, TVG, Preakness 146 tomorrow down in Pimlico, Baltimore, Maryland. Todd is great at what he does on TVG. All right, let's get your thoughts, Todd, here on the field tomorrow. Early betting, Concert Tour is the favorite. Midnight Bourbon's gotten some love early. I think it's 3-1 last I saw. I saw that Medina Spear was also 3-1. What do you make of this field, and how deep does win contention go, Todd?
Well, look, I know it's hard to put aside as big of a story as we have with Medina Spirit, but let's put it aside for a moment. Let's judge him on what happened in the Kentucky Derby. He was one of the luckiest horses I have seen in recent memory in the Kentucky Derby. One, he's a horse that got to a clear lead. How did that happen? Caddo River, who would have been one of the pace setters in that race, got sick the week of the Kentucky Derby and didn't even enter. Then at the start of the race, Rock Your World, who dominated Medina Spirit in the Santa Anita Derby and took the field gate to wire, has the worst break possible. So what happens? You end up with Medina Spirit breaking on the lead, and then John Velasquez with very little effort going from the eighth post right onto the rail, and the rest is history. So just because of the nature of what an easy trip and what a lucky trip Medina Spirit got, no matter what the news was with Medina Spirit, I was coming to Baltimore to play against him. As for his stablemate Concert Tour, he's a faster horse than Medina Spirit, but he's also a horse that has distance limitations. I'm not sure he can go the mile 3/16. So what you're seeing in the early wagering with the odds rising on Medina Spirit, with Concert Tour still kind of being out there as a middle-of-the-range horse, I think are the doubts of those horses themselves. Not a doubt about the trainer, Bob Baffert, but doubts of those horses' resumes coming in. So Midnight Bourbon is the wise guy horse right now. In the Kentucky Derby, he actually ran a very sneaky good sixth place finish because he was further back than he would normally be. This is a horse that likes to take up a tactical running style just off the pace. He'll be able to do that with his post position draw in the Preakness. And I think it's fascinating that Irad Ortiz Jr., one of the best riders in the world, has taken the mount on him and not, say, on the Chad Brown horse risk taking. So Irad Ortiz picking up the mount on Midnight Bourbon tells you everything you need to know. He is absolutely a contender in this race. And I would advise people to take a look at a long shot by the name of Rombauer. Rombauer, his only wins to date, one was on the turf, was on a synthetic track, but he has had very credible efforts against the best horses in the three-year-old division. He had a very good effort against Essential Quality when they were two-year-olds, and Essential Quality went on to be the two-year-old champion. And then last out, he was third in the Toyota Bluegrass Stakes in a race where Essential Quality won, Highly Motivated was second, and most everyone you talk to thought either of those horses had a chance to win the Kentucky Derby. So Rombauer is going to get a race to go his way. What he needs to have happen in the Preakness tomorrow is a pace meltdown, which I think could happen, and I think he could upset the field.
So, Todd, I might as well assume that you won't be on the infield hanging out with two chains and running the porta potty thing. Am I correct in that?
Well, here's the thing. The porta potty run is one of my favorite things of the year, and someone always misses that last one, and it ends up like the greatest video you will see out there. And I have to tell you, what's great is because we have to go off the air once the big NBC production goes on air, I actually go out to the last part of that infield test, and we were talking about some of the great acts that went through there. Bruno Mars, before anyone who really knew who Bruno Mars was, he played the infield fest. Post Malone, before anyone knew who Post Malone was, Posty played the infield fest. So, yeah, you can bet. I'm going to try and make the last part of Two Chainz's set.
There you go.
There you go, Todd. Love it. How are you going to play it, Todd? So you mentioned that you like Rombauer as a long shot. Midnight Bourbon clearly has an opportunity. How are you going to play the race, Todd? We want to make our audience a little bit of money here. How can they attack the race?
Well, look, I would sit here and tell you, you know, me personally, I'm going to be playing pick fives ending into that race, but then that would mean I'd have another 2 hours on your show explaining the previous four races. Most people tune in for the Preakness and want to play that race straight up. So the wagering menu on this race is exacta, trifecta, superfecta, super high five. There is actually a daily double, but we're not going to play that. That's from the 13th to the 14th. I think the value in this race is the exacta. If you look historically at the Preakness, literally going back the last decade, there is always a price horse in second. So to me, Rombauer is that price horse. So I would play Rombauer up and down in this field here in the exacta. I'd put Rombauer on top of horses like the 2 Keep Me in Mind, the 4 Crowded Trade, the 5 Midnight Bourbon, the 8 Unbridled Honor, and the 9 Risk Taking and Concert Tour. The reason you can play that many horses in second is because Rombauer is going to be a price. And if he wins and you've played the exacta, you want to make sure that you're cashing. You should also play Rombauer to win in this race because he's going to be a very fair price. But after taking Rombauer, the 6 over the 2, 4, 5, 8, 9, and 10, I would then take those horses back over Rombauer. So my whole race, as far as coming down to playing the Preakness straight up, is having Rombauer in one of the top 2 spots there, but in an exacta part wheel top and bottom with him, with the trend of second usually being a price in the Preakness. I hope that this year it's Rombauer.
Todd, last one. We have about 90 seconds here. Anybody else on the undercard tomorrow that you like? You mentioned you like playing pick fours, pick fives. I know we're not going to run through any other race, but is there another horse that really kind of that you love that's running on the undercard of the Preakness?
Well, I think one of the great races on the card tomorrow is race number 11. Keep in mind, the Preakness is the 13th race. It's supposed to go off at 6:47 local time, but you have top sprinters going in the Maryland Sprint, and it's a field of 11. And that race, to me, screams as a bust-out long shot. I'm definitely looking for prices in that race. Strike Power is the 7-2 morning line favorite. He had a good effort in the Cowan Fleet Sprint last time out. He comes up to Pimlico, and Steve Asmussen has done well. But my long shot play in there would be the one, Lakey, who last time out took the Frank Whitley here locally at Pimlico. And one thing you would find, there is an advantage to being a local horse on days like this. It is tough to ship in to Pimlico and win. The Preakness is different because most everybody is shipping in. It's tough for the local horses. But on the undercard, on those main track races, local horses like Lackey absolutely have an advantage. So in the 11th at Pimlico, the one Lackey would be a horse that I'd be definitely using in my pick five leading up to the Preakness.
Todd Schrupp, TVG, he's fantastic. Check him out. Todd, we appreciate the time here. Enjoy the Preakness tomorrow.
I really appreciate it, Mark and Jeremy. You guys do wonderful work. Thanks.
Thanks a lot, Todd. And having a nice soft shell crab. Are you a soft shell crab guy, Jeremy?
Every time I see him, I want to eat him, and then I try him, and I'm like, it's not for me.
So, I like a nice soft shell. It's got to be fried on a sandwich. Yeah. Anyway, BetQL Audio Network.